706-575-FOCUS live on the Beacon. Got a very crowded studio here this morning. Robbie,
I think we need a bigger table. I think we need a bigger table here, Tom.
Yeah, you think we can add a second level, maybe.
That's right, a duplex.
Ed Kowalski in studio, Rob Johnson back with us, Rob, as the spokesperson for the corrections officers here. And as Rob mentioned, coming up on almost 1 year since we first met on the corrections officers strikeout here, and the legitimate safety concerns for the corrections officers have not only have they gone unmet over the last year.
They're being redefined.
They're being redefined by the governor, and to make it seem as if we've made improvements. So, Rob, come right up to that microphone, and you know, thanks for keeping in contact with us and updating. This is so critically important. Now I want to, before we come into this, though, I want to talk about this piece is out in the paper today about Kathy Hochul attacking ICE agents. Across America, these left-wing politicians are putting everybody's life at risk in doing this, making the already difficult job of police officers, law enforcement, of whatever jurisdiction they're with, ever more difficult. And, Rob, when we go back to the origins within the state corrections system, where they put regulations in a few years ago, that actually wound up resulting in many more injuries to corrections officers. But I believe, if I remember this correctly, the injuries to inmates themselves quadrupled.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not just the officers getting injured. The other inmates and their families are complaining, oh, the officers are doing this and the officers are doing that. And the inmates are, you know, assaulting each other as well. So that's, like we said, talked about quadrupling.
Rob, can we talk a little bit about what the governor actually did? Because as I said to Tom earlier and as I said to you off air, in Albany, what gets redefined gets erased. That really is what's happening specifically in terms of what Governor Hochul is doing. And I guess for our listeners who don't understand this or are not fully versed in it, Governor Hochul is quietly changing how violence inside New York State prisons is counted. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Tell us what that means.
Well, so what it's called dumbing down the system in a sense.
Is that a legal term?
I'll make it one for myself. So they redefine like what's an assault, or they redefine what can be reported. The new memo out for the corrections staff talks about not reporting so much on assaults. It's more of a harassment issue now. They're taking the less violent parts out.
So under her new framework, in other words, inmate behavior that once triggered an assault report, you know, grabbing an officer, pulling them into a cell, throwing things at them, all of the stuff that would be considered an assault back in the day when you were coming up as a CO has now must be logged as harassment or disruptive behavior unless intent can clearly be proven. In other words, same act, same officer, same risk, different spreadsheet, different way of putting these numbers down.
That is correct. Absolutely. Yep. It makes it look so it's not so violent.
And what is the benefit to the governor of being able to position it that way?
Well, you lower the numbers on everything. It makes her look better. It makes her look like she knows what she's doing.
So she's fudging numbers is what you're saying.
Any typical government agency that doesn't know how to handle it, that's what they do. They fudge the numbers.
We have seen this. We've seen it in Washington, D.C. We've seen it in Chicago. We've seen it in New York City. They have absolutely not been accurately reporting these crimes against the public or within these systems.
So these numbers then become proof that things are getting better. Mm-hmm. The governor wants to be able to say, look how good we're doing here.
Yeah.
Well, look at these numbers that are currently down. But the reality of it is it's BS.
Well, the public believes it because, you know, they're listening to what she's saying and not the actual facts of what's going on. The officers working on the inside know about what's going on, but they can't really speak up and speak out about it. The only reason I can be here is because I'm retired. the regular officers that are still employed can't do this.
And, of course, this is against the backdrop against the, in terms of what's going on in the state. Staff shortages are still pivotal and chronic.
Absolutely.
Policy shifts, morale issues. How is morale with the COs since the strike?
There is no morale. I mean, you look at, we talk about fudging the numbers. There was 14,000 officers when the strike, you know, was having going on. They went down to like 10,000 officers within, I don't know, 6 month period or something.
Wow.
Officers leave and stuff like that. They decided to put out another memo, and we're going to say 70% is the new 100%. We'll make it look like everything's good.
70% is the new 100%.
That's basically
so,
how it was.
Rob Johnson, in the past, then there's been the issue then with those huge staffing shortages, mandated overtime.
Yes.
Extremely stressful.
They're running 12-hour shifts now because they can't fill the seats.
Right, and extremely stressful on those individuals and their families.
Yeah. I got just talking to one of the guys yesterday. He's got 5 years left to go. He's so stressed out, he's not sure he's going to be able to make it. His family life, he doesn't have one right now. He's working 12-hour shifts, sometimes getting mandated the extra 4 hours to cover something else that's going on. So, and that's almost daily, if not at least every other day that he's got to do that.
Wow. Wow. I don't know what it's going to take, Ed and Rob, for the public to wake up as to what's going on. People, so much of this does not get the adequate coverage in the media. I mean, we've tried to keep in touch with you for the last year, the last 11 months. Ed, you've done the same thing. We've both written about it. But until we get the voters...
Well, that's exactly right, Tom.
This is an election year.
How long is it going to take the voters to be able to say this far no further? What Governor Hochul is doing in this particular instance is a shell game. What
yes.
she's really doing, she could change the language.
Absolutely.
She could change the forms. You can even change the headlines. But as I wrote on my blog on this very issue yesterday, but the bruises against correction officers are still there in the morning. That's the bottom line, folks. And I'm not trying to sound graphic on this, but this is BS in terms of what's going on. And
well,
how we've seen this governor do this on a multitude of issues. Robbie just brought up Medicare not a while back, talking about Medicare. Tom from Spack and Kill, Medicaid for fraud in New York State. We've seen her do this in regards to the green climate agenda mm-hmm. that's driving people out of their homes
yeah.
in New York
yeah.
State. You know, I mean, and then she ends up having the temerity, that's an LSAT word, folks, is she has the temerity to be able to then say, wait a second, this is the big bad utility companies. This is
right.
Con Ed. Give me a break.
So,
this is Central Hudson.
Last week, I mean, to your point, last week, two New York City corrections officers attacked in 4 hours at Rikers by one individual who has a, you know, known to, you know, slash people on the subway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And before they changed the rule, the paperwork and everything, the halt thing with Salazar, who's, yeah. oh my God, don't even get me started with her.
Now, who is she?
Julia Salazar, senator from New York City.
Yes,
area.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely look into her and see what all kinds of stuff that she's passing. There's another new bill coming up to make it easier. My big saying that I say is mercy to the guilty is cruelty to the innocent. And this is what she's doing. She's doing all kinds
Say
of mercy
again,
for
Rob.
All the convicted felons.
Say that again.
Mercy to the guilty is cruelty to the innocent.
Yeah. Let's get a quick break in here. 7:15 on Hudsonville, folks. I got this old sports report, and then back with Rob Johnson, spokesperson for the corrections officer, and Ed Kowalski here on the Beacon.
I'm looking at myself, reflection of my mind. It's just the kind of day to leave myself behind. So get me swaying.
7:20 on Hudson's Life Focus Live on the Beacon. Ed Kowalski in studio. Rob Johnson here talking about the representative corrections officers, New York State corrections officers who are now massively understaffed and the stress put on the officers, the COs, and their families with mandated overtime. And now Kathy Hochul, rather than come up with any solutions, she changes.
Let's redefine stuff.
Yeah, let's just change our reporting so it makes it look like things are going in the correct direction. This has been a tactic that they've used across all of state government. Rob, you had a couple of instances there you wanted to mention in terms of reclassifying something, actions directed at the corrections officers.
Yes, the and this is included with the memo that was put out recently. They gave several different, seven different examples. Two of the examples involve the same incident, just with an empty milk carton and a full milk carton. The intent is still there. There's the perpetrator is still throwing the carton at the officer, but one is full, one is empty. It's still considered an assault either way.
Sure.
But she's trying to make it so that one, the empty one, is called just disruptive behavior. And there was no real aggressive intent.
Rob, can you remind our listeners what the issue with the CO strike was as it related to the HALT Act, you know, in terms of what that was all about?
Well, the HALT Act basically takes the respect that, not real respect, but it was an unimplied respect that the inmates had for the officers.
Whoa.
So there was a lot less assaults and things like that.
But break it down even further. The HALT Act basically was, it allowed very disruptive inmates to be put in solitary confinement. Is that correct?
For a very limited amount of time, where years ago, back when I first started, I mean, they could get 2 years of solitary. It's not even solitary. I'm not even going to use that word. It's a keep lock. If you saw what these inmates are living in, it's not solitary. It's not like they don't have any windows and all that stuff. They actually get more attention when they're in this keep lock area than they do when they're in population.
But that was one of the issues pertaining to the strike.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, where are we now with the HALT Act? I mean, are disruptive inmates allowed? I mean, are they put in solitary confinement now or no?
At a max of 15 days.
That's it.
That's a max of 15 days. And then if you're a certain age, or if you got mental, what they call Office of Mental Health area, if they see those individuals, the counselors and stuff from that, it's even less.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody over, I forgot what the age of 55 or 70, I forgot exactly what it was now, but they can't be keep locked.
Keep locked, meaning
solitary.
We call
it keep locked, which is not solitary. No. There is no solitary. That's a farce compared to what everybody's saying. It's a movie thing. That's a movie name.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's called keep lock or special housing. That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I actually worked in special housing for 8 years out of my career. So,
is there any active recruiting, Rob, as far as you know,
yes,
underway to fill out the ranks of COs?
They have. I don't remember exactly how many officers they are on. It's a recruiting group that they have now. The local one, I think, has six officers doing recruitings. They go as far as the lower southern tier of New York City or New York State.
I've actually seen recruitment advertisements for people living in Massachusetts and other places, basically saying, hey, work in New York State. You know, they'll allow you to live out of state, if you will.
And years ago, you weren't allowed to live out of state. The crew that's here is phenomenal as far as like trying to recruit people. They go to different, like, say, fairs, and, you know, they were up at Dutchess County Fair this summer, things like that. Every weekend they're at some event, you know, the trade shows, all that stuff, and they set up a booth, and they try to recruit people to get, you know, new officers. They're still losing the amount. Just a number I'll put out there. Say they lose 78 officers in a month. They're only gaining 50. So you're still losing
backwards
every month.
Yeah.
That's just one little number. That's not statewide. It's even higher.
What would you say to a young person who's interested in law enforcement and becoming a CEO? I mean, what would you tell them?
Honestly, until things change, I would say not do it.
Really?
Yeah. It's that bad. I probably would have stayed another 5 or 10 years, but they put in that HALT Act and all that stuff and made it so dangerous. I mean, the inmates have no repercussion. They can do almost whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what about if they do bring new corrections officers in? What about the adequacy of training?
The training itself is phenomenal. You learn all the legal stuff in the academy. I happen to know a few people that are up instructing in the academy who are phenomenal. That whole crew up there, the Albany instructors are phenomenal. You learn the legal stuff in the academy. You learn the real life stuff when you're on. They have what's called four weeks of OJT, on the job training.
Mm-hmm.
You learn the real stuff for jailing then, and I call it jailing, but it's of doing your job. So
is it adequate that, because if you're talking about working in these extremely difficult conditions, not only do you have the risk of your physical safety, but then you've also got, you know, if somebody's thinking about, gosh, I have a family, do I want to do this? You know, is there training also about how to interact with your family? We talked about the stresses on family.
Yeah. That's a great question, Tom.
Absolutely not. There's nothing about mental well-being for the officers with their families or with themselves. The suicides have gone up as far as amongst officers. I mean, if there was one or two a year years ago, there's probably at least 6 to 10 now in that range a year. And that's a lot. Even one is a lot. They're not taught the mental wellness, I would say.
Yeah, exactly.
She put out a memo, Marticello, who's the commissioner of the corrections, of the wellness program and all that stuff. That's just paperwork.
Yeah, that's basically an 800 number. And if you're having a little bit of a problem, call with 1-800 number.
Yeah, that's all it is. Mm-hmm. That is all it is. Yep.
So what we're talking about right across the board, and this is what I find so frustrating, and what is it going to take to shake people out of their complacency or their stupor? We're talking about a gross failure of leadership, gross failure to understand, and whether we're talking about the energy issue, whether we're talking about the tax structure, whether we're talking about the failure to staff these state agencies properly,
the fraud issues.
The failure to properly maintain the state's infrastructure of roads and bridges. This is what are the voters thinking about?
And Tom, the reality of it is, jails are necessary. I mean, for society.
Yes,
there are members amongst us. There are citizens amongst us. Not even citizens. There are people living amongst us who don't belong living with us.
I think I'm watching the Batman movie of the Gotham. Dark Gotham. Honest to God, I'm serious about this. When you look at this level of corruption from the state of New York, mm-hmm. this is exactly how I feel like I'm living now.
We are definitely engaged in a through the looking glass kind of an environment.
Yes.
You know, up is down, down is up. You know, things are not making sense. And when you really look at what Governor Hochul has done specific to this corrections issue, in terms of redefining things to be able to make numbers work, this is literally right out of My Dog Ate the Homework. I don't have it ready for you. You know, and so, I mean, does she really think the voters are that naive to be, or that stupid to be able to say, okay, we support this?
She knows that she has the media who is covering her ass for this stuff, and they are not even close to reporting how bad things are in the state. How many times, go ahead, Rob.
The media themselves, like last year, you know, the strike that went on almost a year ago now, I did so much homework trying to reach out to the major news medias. You guys were the only ones that actually picked anything up.
Mm-hmm.
I reached out to Fox and CBS and all that. And I don't like certain ones, but that's fine. It's just they didn't want to touch it. They're in the, I would call them in the pocket, so to speak.
Yes, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And how easy is it? Well, you're not going to carry this story, or we're not going to give you any advertising revenue.
Absolutely.
The golden rule, Ed, the golden rule.
You know, it really is
We're about to go out to the 7:30 break, but I will ask you to spend a couple more minutes with us. Rob, and then I also will give some thought over this break. What are things that people listening to us right now should be doing to get a hold of, even if it's their local town council person, the county legislator, the assembly person, the senator? Let's come back and talk about that, because people themselves have to become activists in this. Back in a minute with Rob Johnson, Ed Kowalski on the Beacon.
She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
Giddy up, 733, Hustle My Focus Live on the Beacon on this Friday morning. 30 minutes from now, Tracy, a registered dietitian, will join me. We're going to be talking about the new food pyramid. But right now, back to conversation with Rob Johnson and Ed Kowalski on the corrections issue. Ed?
You know, I was just talking to Rob off air, you know, and Rigo, I didn't really fully understand the environments that our New York State corrections officers work in. Until such time, I ended up having a number of the striking COs on the show talk about what was going on. And they talked a lot, to your point, Tom, about what the job does to them.
Yes.
You know, psychologically, what it does to their families. And I was like, wow, I couldn't imagine going in an environment every day where the bureaucracy is stacked against the CO.
Yes.
You know, so, and they talked about horrible things. They talked about horrible things that the inmates who know that they've sort of got, that they're in a little bit of a power position in terms of some of the nonsense that they end up doing. And it's like day after day after day after day. I am terribly saddened to hear what you just said, Rob, about CO suicide.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine people getting to the point where they feel they have no other recourse but to end their life.
The mental and physical drain from the job is just tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Just tremendous. And you can go back to the first day I started down in Sing Sing. I was threatened to be killed the first cube search that I did. Right from there. What does that do to your mental psyche a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just...
So I was thinking about this comment from Kathy Hochul about the fact that, you know, she's blaming ICE agents. But let me suggest, Kathy Hochul, that people out in the public, particularly people who may be involved in crimes, will not make a distinction between a New York State trooper, an Ulster County sheriff, a corrections officer, maybe the town of Fishkill police officer wearing a uniform. Those individuals put all of them in the exact same category. You are putting every single law enforcement professional at great risk.
And Tom, when you layer that against what the mayor of Minnesota said in a press conference to be able to say to the ICE agents to get the F out of his city, what message did that telegraph the rank and file citizen who basically is looking at a guy who's out there enforcing the law
as written by either the state legislature or Congress?
Correct. You and I have both had Tom Homan on our shows, and ultimately,
right,
at the end of the day, Tom Homan has said, if we're out there enforcing the law that exists on the books, if you don't like the laws that we're enforcing, change them.
Right.
Change them.
Car attacks on ICE agents spiked by more than 3,200% over the last year. This is, so I can take you further back to New York State Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who years ago labeled ICE agents thugs.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Ms. Kirsten Gillibrand doesn't know the 400 areas of responsibility assigned to ICE agents by the United States Congress that she's a member of.
And how smug Governor Walz is to use the word Gestapo.
Right.
I mean, come on, man. Let's invoke Nazi imagery against these individuals. Give me a break.
So I'm going to say it one more time. Every single, there's 800,000 law enforcement folks across this country out there doing a very difficult job. Are there some bad apples in that? Yeah, there are, just like in every profession out there, whether it's 1% or 2%. They're out there,
except radio talk show hosts, Tom. There's no bad radio talk show host, at least that I'm aware of.
No, okay. But the point is that this rhetoric, read it. It's everywhere now, everywhere. And this is a Democrats. They think that they're attacking Donald Trump. They're attacking the rule of law in America.
Right.
How much of this is being funded? I've given a lot of thought to this now over the last several weeks. The outside money, whether it's coming in from China, whether it's coming in from the drug cartels, I think we're talking about tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars.
Billions
of dollars being funneled up to the politicians themselves. Some of them may not know it through money funneled through an organization like an Act Blue, but they're fueling this discontent with the idea of feeding anarchy in America.
And that discontent allows people like Governor Walz and Governor Hochul and the mayor of Minnesota to be able to, in effect, hide behind this. They've divided people against each other. What we, you know, and look, listen, I have a lot of people who are Democrats, a lot of friends of mine who are Democrats, a lot of friends of mine who are liberals. I obviously have a lot of friends who are Republicans. This, when you're talking about crime, That's not a partisan issue. That's not a Democratic or Republican issue.
More than 13. So, Rob, it was October 1st of 2012 that I started the five-day week show called Hudson Valley Focus Live.
Which I'm thankful for. Thank you.
Ever since day one, I started talking about the fact that if you study this over the last 30, 35 years, you will find a deliberate political strategy to polarize us and tribalize us. And that takes the attention away from the criminal acts that lead politicians have been directing against we, the people.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
So absolutely. Whether it's young, old, rich, poor, gay, straight, pro-life, pro-abortion, Christian, Muslim, Jew, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, get vaccinated, you're going to kill people if you're not vaccinated. Honest to God, think about it. Am I making it up, or is that exactly what you have heard parroted over the last 15, 20 years?
And then, of course, you know, the other issue, too, and I come back, and I've said this before, Tom, and you've heard me say this again. You know, how do you end up having a congressman like Pat Ryan vote against the Lake and Riley Act?
Right.
What was the Lake and
right.
Riley Act?
Right.
What was it? What was it? What was
I'm
it?
I'm still waiting for Pat Ryan to show me where in the law you can designate an area sanctuary.
Correct.
And say that I don't have to
correct.
Follow the law.
What does the sanctuary city does? What does the sanctuary city do other than just offer protection to people who want to take advantage of that status?
Right.
And by the way, who are the communities that are most targeted by these criminal illegal aliens? It's fellow immigrant areas.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The minority individuals who live in those communities.
Why is that so hard? And why are we so afraid to talk about that? Why are we so afraid to talk about CO?
I've been talking about it for
no,
years.
No, I understand that.
But as I have been.
But why don't we talk about CO suicide? Why isn't every politician in New York State clamoring to say, this is wrong? These are people that we need in these roles to protect society, as well as to protect the people that are incarcerated. Why? And these guys end up taking their lives? Give me a break. Why aren't the politicians talking about this?
Their level of dishonesty, they're not human beings. They're political animals.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say that. They are somebody like Kathy Hochul, Kirsten Gillibrand, Pat Ryan, Chuck Schumer.
Careers. They're making careers.
They absolutely are in violation of their oath of office.
They've been on both sides of the issue 18 times during the course of their careers.
Yeah.
It's just whatever suits them for that time. They change their little stances and things like that. So, yeah.
I really seriously wonder about how much money is flowing into these especially the Democrat coffers from the drug cartels. And do you know that while Barack Obama was president and his buddy Rahm Emanuel was mayor of Chicago, the Sinaloa drug cartel tripled in size in Chicago?
I didn't.
The homicides in Chicago and the gang activities basically doubled.
Oh, yeah.
In the 8 years that Obama was president, mm-hmm. and his buddy Rahm Emanuel, his former chief of staff, was the mayor of Chicago. You tell me that they didn't know what was going on and they weren't beneficiaries of money into their campaign coffers.
Without a doubt. Absolutely. It's not just them. It's all the politicians do in that sense. You know.
Where do we go from here? So, I mean, recruiting is an issue with COs. Where do we go in terms of the current state of what your guys are dealing with?
You have to change the effect of the inmates just being able to control things. You've got officers, the new officers come in now, and an aggressive inmate will come up and tell them, listen, that's my area. Do not come over and search that area, or do not come over and do your rounds in that area, because you have to do some rounds to keep track of all the inmates in the area. And you'll have the aggressive.
And what does a brand new CO who's confronted with that, what do they do?
The average one is scared to death, and they'll sit there in their office. It's not even an office. It's a desk area. You don't have a safe safe space according to the new world.
And once you concede, you know, you're basically they've got you.
You anybody with just an average person, this job isn't for them because they're going to get scared. I don't know if I want to use the word scared, but intimidated by these aggressive inmates. It's and I'm saying inmates because to me they're still inmates or felons. They're not incarcerated individuals because it's a less aggressive word. It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. I could go, you know, it's, I don't know.
Rob, we'll let you duck out of here at this point in time. Rob Johnson, spokesperson for the New York State Corrections Officers.
We'd very much like to keep in touch with you,
Rob. Oh, absolutely. You, I said it to you before, you've got an open invitation to be here when things are developing. You know, please, you know how to get a hold of us and anything that we can do. And I really want to end this on saying that addressing the mental wellness of the corrections officers and its impact on their families.
In a substantive way.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
You're talking about, you got somebody coming up with dietitian stuff coming up in the next set, right? What about their physical well-being? How good are they eating when they can only bring in enough food for the day? You know, what kind of stuff are they eating and everything as far as like maintaining their body? It's junk food, basically. It's not really any kind of home-cooked meals. Do you have time to home-cook your meals and everything if you're working 16 hours?
No.
Not at all?
No.
So
see how this stuff, that's why I use the word holistic. It all interplays. It absolutely all is an interplay. Mm-hmm. Rob, we'll let you duck out of here. Happy New Year to you, and let's work together to see if we can affect some positive change.
Absolutely. Thank you guys very much.
You bet, Rob. Thank you.
Quick break with the Zoll Sports Report, and then back on the Beacon.